Well, good morning, everybody. Today, we're not going to be doing what we normally do. We're not going to be having our normal singing, our praise and worship. God has been speaking to us as a family here to really engage in prayer, to go deeper, to get a better understanding of prayer, and to really sort of experience the family dynamic in the house of God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, communicating with you and I, we communicating with them, and amongst one another, sharing what our Father is sharing with us. And it's really, because prayer is communication, prayer is not a one-way, but it's such a family dynamic of real, enriched, beautiful communication that's taking place. And that is what prayer is all about, and that is what the Holy Spirit is helping us to really be rooted and established in. And that's one of the reasons why we are not going to be singing, because there's certain things that we need to be established in. I was listening last night to the senior minister of Times Square Church in New York. That was a church that Dave Wilkinson planted. Remember that Dave Wilkinson, the author of the Crossing the Switchblade, who God used to minister to the gangs in New York. And he was the one that led Nicky Cruz, the leader of the Mau Mau gang, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Nicky Cruz today is an incredible anointed evangelist worldwide, still leading many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Dave Wilkinson, when he was a young man, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit of the time that he would spend watching television. And he was aware that if he had spent the time in prayer, something might happen. And so he was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So he said to God, God, if you want me to sell the TV, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to put an advert in the paper, and I'm going to lay a fleece out there. And within the first hour, if anybody phones within an hour period and says, I want to buy the TV and I sell the TV, then I know it's your will that I sell the TV. If not, then I haven't heard correctly. And then after a little period of time, he says, no, God, let's give it half an hour. This is within half an hour, if anybody phones and buys the TV, then I know that this is definitely your will for me to sell that TV, and I will spend the time in prayer. And anyway, he said, as he was sharing, he's sitting in the lounge now. The advert's gone in the newspaper. The newspaper has now been distributed to the homes, etc., all over the town where he stayed. And what took place now, he's sitting there, and that TV box is staring at him. On his one side is his wife and his children, also looking at him over there. And on the other side is this clock that is ticking along over there. And so he's looking at that clock all the time to see the time. And, you know, the 25 minutes, 26, 27, and the 28 minutes go, and the 29 minutes go. And now he's, yes, I'm not going to be selling my TV. I'm able to keep it. And as he had finished speaking, the phone rings. And someone, are you still selling your television? Yes. And that other gentleman on the other side of the line purchased the television within the half an hour. And so that TV was gone. And that is when Dave Wilkinson started to take prayer seriously. And history was changed. The destiny of gangsters, the destiny of so many drug addicts, so many people's lives worldwide has been changed because a man got on his knees and started to pray seriously with God. And listening to the senior minister last night, I just for the first time I've listened to him on Times Square, and he was sharing the exact same thing about them stopping their worship so that they could hear from God and to begin to praise God and worship God from the heart and not from the music. And one of the scriptures, or there was another scripture that I'm going to share, but here in Psalm 22, look at verse 25. David is speaking to God now. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. And this is what God wants us to do. That's why we're not having worship, because the Holy Spirit wants to give us revelation of our Heavenly Father, of our Lord Jesus. So they become the theme of how we're going to be praying. They become the theme of our conversation with God. They become the theme in that's going to determine the reality of our prayers this morning. And so let me read it again. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. And then he carries on, the poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your heart live forever. So you see here, there's a thing, there's a truth here that you and I, the outcome of us seeking God in prayer, the outcome of us seeking God in the storms of life, the outcome of seeking God is praise. That's the outcome. We will be people of tremendous praise as we seek God. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to sing because there's the music around, from our very hearts, seeking God in prayer. When we come here on a Sunday, what's going to take place? The praise will flow out because we have been the people of God that has spent time seeking his ways for our community, for our nation, seeking his ways for what he wants to do this morning, what he wants to do today, what he wants to do in our lives, in the lives of the people all around us. Praise comes from that. So that is why we need to get established in this, to be able to be a foundation in our lives when it comes to prayer, intercession, etc. Now, a good example of how prayer changes the outcome of life situations. If we go into the Old Testament, I'm just going to summarize. King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, he was a good king. He did what was right in the eyes of God, more than the other kings. And he was the one that was really destroying the idols and anything that would take place that was causing the people of Judea to sin. King Hezekiah was removing that and reestablishing the law of God, establishing the worship of God, establishing that. And an interesting thing takes place, that as he's busy doing that, there's a scripture in, I think it's in Isaiah, I can't quite recall now, where we read over there that after all these faithful things, then the king of Samaria came to attack him. And that is the reality as we are faithful in our prayer, faithful in following truth. You will always find some king in our thoughts and our minds, the voices that will come and attack us after the joy of being faithful. So be aware of that, so that you were realizing, but this is just an attack. This is just challenging our commitment to be faithful in the things of God. But fortunately with King Hezekiah, and at first he started to negotiate with the king and of Assyria, and somehow in the grace of God he came to his senses, and he then took the letters that was been written and threatening him, and he went to God and he prayed. Because he prayed, what took place was an incredible, significant outcome. Because he prayed, and all the armies that had surrounded Jerusalem to come and occupy Jerusalem, God's angel came, one angel, and destroyed the army because he prayed. So the outcome was totally changed because a king prayed. And this is what God is calling you and I, for our nation, for our towns, for our communities, for our families. We as a kingdom of priests, because we prayed, it changes the outcome of what could have been devastating results for our children, for marriages, for our communities, for our nation, etc. So God is encouraging you and I to really understand what prayer is all about, and to commit and to be involved with shaping and the history of South Africa, the history of the towns, the workplaces that God has placed you and I. So we've been looking here in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, And I'm going to continue with that. And I'm going to just read some of the verses just to capture, and we will discuss it as we go on throughout the weeks as we continue with this series of being established in prayer. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. Just that there, you can see such a key over here in our family discussions with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with ourselves, etc. This heart of praise, this thankful heart, because we know that the very life of the Spirit is in the family of God. And the Holy Spirit has a powerful way of ministering in our lives. So we thank God for the family of God here in your town where you are, here in our nation. And it changes our heart. It changes our attitude. It brings in a love for one another. It brings in a sense of tremendous unity as we begin to thank God for his family in a particular town that God has placed us in. We continually, so yeah, again, you see the devotion to prayer. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. And this is going to be a big thing for us to grasp. Your labor prompted by love and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go on, you're going to see how this is going to play a major role as one of the key areas for you and I to be praying for the body of Christ, for that work produced by faith, inspired by love, but also our endurance, because we've got this living hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, and we will speak about, for he has chosen you. So we're speaking not about God's incredible love for all mankind, but here we're specifically going to be looking at a covenant love, because God's love for you and I in Christ Jesus is different to the love that he has for all mankind because of a covenant. Just as you may love people all around you, but your love for your spouse is different because it's a covenant marriage. And so we're going to learn how to live in a covenant love that God has for you and I because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's part of another key a key truth for us to be able to engage and to pray and to be established in. We're going to go through all of these as we continue. Then we carry on. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel, this good news, came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And like, oh, I don't think we can stress the importance now for this ministry of the power of the gospel, the power of the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be so involved in our preaching and our communicating and our sharing the gospel with people all around us. We need that. You know how we lived among you. For your sake, you became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message ran out, and this is one of the things that God is shaping, that his family will become a model for all to see. But we will look at that just now as we continue. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So, today we want to just focus here in verse 1. So, Father, as we spend time just listening to you as you share with us, we ask that you will reveal to us by your Holy Spirit the depth here in this very first verse, that we may have a revelation to be established on a foundation in order to enable us to be able to pray, to be able to worship, to be able to praise, to be able to live, to be able to speak and think differently from now onwards. So we receive, Holy Spirit, your powerful ministry. Lord Jesus, you're the one that has introduced us to the Father. You're the one that has saved us with your incredible redeeming work on the cross. And we want to thank you for that. Help us. We receive your ministry. We pray not only for us, but we pray for the believers in our nation, that this truth will be released by your Holy Spirit. And this we ask in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as I mentioned last week, to the church, that word church is the word ecclesia, and that is a political term that the family of God here in Thessalonica understood, because where the Romans governed, this was part of their political system on how they governed the town, the cities that the Roman citizens in. It was called the ecclesia, where the citizens gathered together, the assembly, they assembled, they gathered together to discuss the affairs of the city, of the town, and to be able to make certain decisions to ensure that the town is running smoothly, etc. So there was a political, there was a bit of an authoritative kind of leadership there in the context of this word ecclesia. Now, the family of God, and this is such an incredible truth, because we too have assembled here throughout our nation, the ecclesia. We've assembled together on a Sunday morning, for instance, and we've come, we're in the kingdom of God. We have been called by God. We've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. Remember the dominion of darkness. It speaks about a rule. It speaks about an authority over us. Because darkness is everything that is not in the light of Jesus Christ. So anything that is not in God is dark. So sin is dark. The demonic realm is dark. How everything that is he's captured is in the darkness. And you and I, we lived under the authority of this darkness. It ruled our lives. So our lifestyle reflect that acts of darkness. So there's lies, there's theft, there's sexual immorality. All of that is the manifestation of darkness. And so that's where we lived, and we were under the authority of darkness. But then we see the grace of God as he came, and by the Holy Spirit, his good news was communicated to you and I in one way or the other. His grace, and he imparted faith to us, and we received the message with joy in our hearts. And at that very moment, that which our Lord Jesus did, remember what redemption is, where Christ came and he paid the ransom for us to be set free. So we were captured by the wages of sin is death. We were captured by death. We were slaves to death. We were slaves to sin. And that gave Satan authority over you and I. But Jesus came and paid the price with his blood to loose us from the wages of sin. The wages of sin. So the blood of Jesus was the ransom, the price to deal with the wages of sin. And so he delivered us. He took us out of this dominion of darkness, as prison of darkness, as authority of darkness. And he brought you and I who believed and received the message with joy. He brought us into his kingdom of light, his kingdom of his Son Jesus Christ, through the incredible redeeming blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we are in the kingdom. So we have gathered together. We have assembled. We are the assembly of God, the called out ones, out of darkness into the kingdom of God. And now we've got a mandate. The great mandate that our Lord Jesus has given to us is a great commission to go to all nations and make disciples, teaching them and baptizing them, etc. And so we have been given a mandate by our Lord Jesus. And every single one of us in the family of God, we've got a particular part to play in this incredible mandate. Our commission, our purpose in life, called out to govern, called out for a purpose. You and I, as a family of God, we've got a mandate. And it's in this realm of prayer that we really begin to understand our mandate. We begin to understand what our Father is sharing with us so that we can be involved and have the mind of Christ as the Holy Spirit, who knows the deep things in the Father's heart, reveals it to our spirit, and we are able to now be part of that. The labor prompted by faith and the works in really inspired by love and the hope that we have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is all part of where God has got us right now, and those that are listening to, this is God's calling for all of us now, the family of God, as we go deep and we spend the time of learning how to pray from a particular foundation. And this is the foundation we are busy now being established in. So to the body of Christ here in Sasselburg and Van der Belfort-Renichen, here in South Africa, wherever you may be, to the incredible children of God, who are in God the Father. Now just this is what God's Spirit wants to reveal to us. We are in God the Father. And we spoke about what it means to be in Christ. And we know that the bigger picture is this incredible relationship that you and I have by the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized into the Father, into the Son, and so we are in them. Now, we are no longer in Adam. Remember, when Adam sinned, we read over there in scriptures over there, because of the sinful nature, we are all descendants of Adam. So we're in him, and as a result of being in Adam, we then also had that sinful nature. But Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, who came from God, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, did not have Adam's nature in him, that fallen nature, did not have sin, did not have darkness that was ruling in him at all. No, he is light, he is sinless, he is holy, he has been set apart by God, he's Christ, the Anointed One. And so now Jesus died on our behalf. So as we now receive Jesus, what took place? He rescued us from being in the darkness. He rescued us from being in Adam's sin, in that sinful nature, being slave to sin. And he brought us into himself, into Jesus Christ. So we now receive the life of the Holy Spirit, and that has set us free from being slaves to sin. Now we are slaves to righteousness in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. We've been through that, but it's all over there. So now we are in the Father and in the Son, Jesus Christ. But let's just break up these words a little bit. In God, Theos, the creator and owner of all things, the supreme being who owns and sustains all things. So all of a sudden, when we realize, Jesus, you're the one that has brought us into the Father. You brought us into God. God, you are sovereign. You are all-knowing. You are all-wise. You are all-powerful. There's nothing. You are the God who created all things, but also you are the God that sustains all things. You're our God. So now let's just stop for a moment and we ask ourselves, what is our current problem that we are facing? Let's now bring it into the context of being in God, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all life, the owner of all things. How big is our problem right now? See, all of a sudden, when we begin to bring our problem and we renew our mind to truth, what takes place? There is a faith, there is a grace that we receive. Remember, Paul speaks about taking every argument, demolishing every argument that comes up against the very truth of God. And this is what we need to be established in, because very often the so-called truth of our problems, of our situations, of our challenges, that clouds our minds, that really becomes loud. And that's why God is saying, don't go into worship, seek me. And as you seek me, you will praise me. That is why, as we still our minds and we demolish those arguments and we now replace it with truth, God, yes, it's my problem and it's got such a loud voice, but I'm in you, Father God. I'm in you, my God, the Almighty, my future. You are the all-knowing God. and I'm worried about my future. But now when I begin to realize, but God, you are all-knowing, you are eternal, all of a sudden, my worry about my future or my family's future, etc., it just fades. And that's why Paul says, in all things give praise and thanks, etc. Then the peace of God, the peace of God, theos, the peace of God will transcend and guard your mind and your hearts. And this is the reality of demolishing those incredible arguments that are coming against the truth that we are in God. We've got to practice this. We've got to get established because it's habit that we find ourselves spending so much time consumed by all our worries and our thoughts, etc. We've got to stop now. We've got to be still. We've got to now allow the Holy Spirit to give us the truth of you and remind us of the truth that we are in God. So this week, we practice this. We practice this for the week to come, all the time. In our day-to-day, when we're facing the challenges, stop. I'm in God. I'm in God. I'm in Theos, the creator and owner of all things, the supreme being who owns but also sustains all things. The word Father, because we are in God and Father. See, the very word Father, it's a powerful word. It's the one who imparts life and is committed to it. So all of a sudden, we come to realize, but God, not only are you the incredible creator, the supreme being of all, the owner of all, you are God, but you also are our Father. You're the one that has given us life by the Holy Spirit. We've been born again by your incredible will and your delight. We've been born again by the Holy Spirit. You're our Father. And that means, our Father, you're the one that sustains us. You're the one that sustains us. You're the one that's involved in our lives. You're the one, Almighty God, all-knowing God, all-powerful God. You're the one that's so involved. And as we communicate to you and you bring our problems, we bring these things to you in your presence and into the family discussions with you and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, I start to see things differently. Now I pray from a position of being in a revelation and for truth of Father being in you as God and Father, one who I know loves me, the one who is involved in my life, the one who knows what's best for me. Our prayers change. The peace of God transcends in our minds and our hearts and our... We start to experience that truth sets free. And all of a sudden, all that anxiety and worry no longer is a reality because we've been set free, because we've demolished that argument and we've replaced it with the truth found here in the Word of God. And we can carry on. Let's have a look. And the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be in Jesus? What does it mean to be in the Lord Jesus Christ? The very word Lord is a profound word, because the very word Lord means a person exercising absolute ownership rights. So when we have surrendered to our Lord Jesus, we are in the Lord. Guess who owns us? Who has the absolute ownership rights in our lives? Our Lord Jesus. And now when we are established in that security of being under his lordship and knowing that he is the one that is Lord over our lives, we start to realize, wow, God, no one can pluck us out of the hands of the Father and your hands. No one can just come and just mess us around, because you are our Lord and we've submitted to you. And later on in the series, we will speak about the reality of learning how to live in the incredible truth of Jesus being our Lord. But now it is time to break up. So let's go to Colossians 1 and just a bit of insight to what it means to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse 15, speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible. Now Jesus makes God who is invisible visible to mankind. That's a profound truth, because we will begin to see how that impacts us in our God-given mandate as we look at this now. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. This firstborn is not like the firstborn that Jesus now was born. No, Jesus, it means the firstborn here in this context is the position, is his status. He is the supreme Son of the living God over all creation. Because the Jehovah Witnesses use this, for example, to say, no, Jesus is just a man, he's a born of God, just like human beings, etc. But we see at the very next verse, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, that's his position, for by him all things were created. See, he is the one that created all things. And this is our Lord. We are in him, the creator of all things. We are in him who sustains all things. This is how the Father has destined it to be. Through his Son, creation comes. Through his Son, the creator of all, sustains all things. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now we are in him. Now all of a sudden, as we spend time just going through this, and we've got our problems, we've got our anxieties, we've got our fears, etc. But we are in you, Jesus. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? Who are you? We are in you. You're the one that created all things. You've created all things, all authorities, all powers, etc. You've created, and it's all for you. Now, we can see why he laughs at his enemies. And you and I now, when we start to realize, but Lord, this is our reality of what it is to pray in your name, what it is to be in you. And all of a sudden, we start to experience the peace of God and the joy of God. Our hearts are guarded, our minds are guarded, etc. Because we've now demolished the strongholds, we've demolished the arguments that are coming against the truth that Jesus is our Lord. And because of the Holy Spirit, we have been baptized into him. This is our reality. So when we pray for our problems, what do our problems look like now from a position of being in him? What are the problems looking like from a position of this here? Look at this. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head, and we will look at that when we get to that part, loved by God, the covenant love of the body, the church, etc. And it carries on, and he says over there that in order that he might have the supremacy, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood on the cross. So the Holy Spirit really wants to help us to begin to understand, what does it mean to be in the Father and in the Son, Jesus Christ? How do we pray from that truth now? How do we look at our current situation? How do we look at our future? How do we look at our country? Now we need to start praying. Say, for instance, if you're praying for our country, all of a sudden we see over there that all the kings, the rulers, all the people in authority, Christ, he is the King of Kings. See, now there's a faith, there's a confidence in Jesus. Now we're praying from that position that Jesus is the King of Kings. All of these things that is happening is working for the incredible outcome, the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can begin to pray differently. We begin to pray with a joy. We begin to pray with an authority. Now our thoughts, our minds are cleared up with all the noise of what we see and hear, what's taking place. And we're starting to get the truth, that the truth that comes from Jesus, who is King of Kings, Jesus, who is the Lord of Lords, Jesus, who has all supremacy, Jesus, who created all things, Jesus, who holds all things together. That includes our lives, it includes our future, it includes everything about us. He is the one that holds it all together. What a safe place to be when we, wow, Lord, thank you. I can pray because you holding my life together. And again, what happens? Now there's a praise that flows out of our hearts because now we've received an insight, a truth. The Holy Spirit has inspired us. And there comes the praise. There comes the worship flowing from you. That's the new song that you and I are called to be singing at this time. Let's go quickly to John chapter 14. Because Jesus models what it is, how, what it means to be in the Father. He's modeling a lifestyle that will help you and I to understand how we live in the Father and in the Son. So in John 14, in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just stop for a moment. And let's now position ourselves in the Father and in the Son, Jesus Christ. And we look at our lives. We look at the problems we are challenged with in life situations. And we have all those arguments coming. And we just stop in the moment. Holy Spirit, you've reminded me that I'm in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. What is the way here? What is the truth here? What is the life here? And the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He will take us and he will give revelation and understanding, and therefore we'll be able to now pray from a position of truth that is found in our Lord Jesus. We will pray from a position that is life in our Lord Jesus and what the way, God's way, that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the hope. Those are the prayers of faith that God answers, because it's in line with his will. So we read over here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So this is one of the keys of what it means to be in the Father. Jesus is modeling something. I'm in the Father. And the evidence of this is that as you look at me, you can see the evidence of my Father. You can see my Father living in me. My Father's work through my life. Paul writes it differently. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith. It's the exact same thing. That's the reality of being in the Father, in the Son, because now it's the Father and Son that is doing his work through us. So, and this is the mandate, the calling of us as believers. So let's look at the Ecclesia, the called out family of God in South Africa, whereas the unsaved can look at us, the nations can look at us, people can look at us as his family in South Africa, and they will be able to see the very works of the Father, the works of the Son. So we could say, just as Jesus said, this is what it means to be in the Father, in the Son. Look at me. If you look at me, if you look at us as the family, the body of Christ, you will see the Father. You've seen the Father. You've seen the Son. And this is what the Holy Spirit is working in, dealing with us and convicting us of stuff that is tripping us up, that is not revealing the true nature, the image of God, etc. And that is why as we behold the Lord Jesus Christ, we are transformed into his likeness from one level of glory to another. We serve an awesome God. He's involved with us. Our Lord Jesus is involved in building us, washing us, working in our lives, so that this reality of what it means to be in the Father and the Son is displayed for all to see. And then all the world will know that the Father has sent his Son, Jesus Christ. So we carry on, and Jesus says over there, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? That's the truth. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith, notice the word, in me, will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. This is why it's so important that God is helping us to know what it means to be in Him. So we are praying in His name. To ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So Jesus is modeling His love for the Father. He's modeling that the evidence of the Father in me and I'm in the Father. Look at my love for Him. That's the evidence of this union with the Father and the Father in me. That's crucial for you and I, but we will get to that as we continue in the series. You will obey what I command. Jesus lived a lifestyle of total obedience to His Father because of a love relationship with the Father, because the Father is in Him. He knows what it is to be loved by the Father, and He is in the Father, and the Father knows what it is to be loved by His Son. This incredible and this wonderful obedience. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor. This is the Holy Spirit to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. What takes place when the Spirit of God has come into us? What took place when we were born again by the Holy Spirit, by the will of our Heavenly Father? Look, this is what takes place. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. This is all the reality of the Spirit of God coming to dwell in us as believers. On that day, listen to this. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So by the Spirit of God, this is the key. The Spirit of God enables us to know that we are in the Father, we are in the Son, Jesus Christ, and they are in us. Let's carry on. This is the ministry, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And this is the covenant love. And I will too love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, this is the evidence of what it is to be in covenant relationship, this incredible love for God. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. This is the evidence of this is the evidence of whether you and I are in the Father and in the Son. Listen to this. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And then he carries on more about the Holy Spirit. But you can see how Jesus is modeling. This is what it is to be in the Father and the Father in us. This is what it is for us to be in Jesus, what it is to be in the Father, what it is for the Father and Son by the Holy Spirit to be in you and I. The evidence is our love for Him, our obedience for Him, and the evidence is the reality that people can see that it's the works of God in us. It's God who is in us that's doing the work through our lives. This is a surrendered life, and we will look at that as we come on, as we go on in the series later on. But what I want to just conclude here today is encourage us, invite us to now start to practice to be in a position of knowing that we're in God the Father, our Father in heaven. We are in Jesus, the Lord, the owner of all things. We are in Him. And as we live our lives, as we go through today, as we look at the challenges of life, today, tomorrow, the next week. Let us practice just being still. Let us practice renewing our mind to that particular truth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You might want to use Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 onwards there. But let us start to get established. It takes a discipline now. It takes time to renew our mind. It takes time to demolish those arguments that come up against the truth of God. It takes time to quieten all the voices of the crisis, of the now moment, of the emotions right now, and to be still and let truth become the foundation. Let the truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing, let that become the words from our lips of praise. Let that become the theme of our prayers. Let that become the theme of our praise and thanksgiving. Let that be our new song that we are singing over our situation, over our communities, over our families, over our nation, because of a truth that the Holy Spirit is taking us in. But let us put this into practice. Let us get established in this. Okay. And Father, so thank you for your grace upon our lives. Thank you for your incredible grace over our lives. We want to thank you as you help us. I was praying the other day, and I'm praying, and I'm asking the Father, Father, no, I think it's the Song of Solomon, the banner over us is love. And I'm praying and saying, Father, won't you cover us with your blanket of love over our community here in at Metsimahora, Sasselburg. And I was just asking the Father just to cover us with his love and this blanket of love. And as I'm praying, just thanking God for this blanket of love, I suddenly saw in a vision what this blanket was. And some of you have seen that movie, The Passion of Christ, where Christ is on the cross and he's beaten and his body is torn and the blood and he's ripped and everything like that. And this blanket, that was the blanket over our community. God, who loved the world, gave his son Jesus. This is how God showed his love, by sending his son Jesus Christ. So this blanket of love, we see it in his son Jesus, in the cross, in his death, the sacrifice over our community. Isn't that profound? And so that is what covers us as a family, as a community here of believers. Now we who believe, now we know, but God, your blanket of love, your son's incredible death is covering, your love that is made known through the sacrifice of Jesus, the incredible fullness of your love that is made known for all mankind through the sacrifice of Jesus is over us. Now, Father, here we ask, Holy Spirit, come and draw people to Jesus Christ. Father, draw people into fellowship with your son, Jesus Christ, because we know God loves the world. Now we want them to enter into a covenant love with God as we share the gospel in deep conviction and power by the Holy Spirit, so that they're able to receive the message with tremendous joy and come into the family of God. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for the people of our towns and our cities and our nations. Thank you, Father, for placing us and calling us to where we are, the towns and the cities and the provinces, wherever we may be. You've set us apart. You've placed us there. We assemble today, Father, involved in your business, in your kingdom business, to hear from you, to be involved with you. Today you've spoken about the journey of us being established in the truth of being in you, Father God Almighty, and in you, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, so that we be able to now pray from that position. You are the God of all. You are supreme. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the all-knowing God. All the principalities, all the things that are happening, all the president and all the politicians, all of that, Lord God, we get confused sometimes. But when we see you as Lord, and you are the one that sustains all, and we thank you for the destiny of our country, the destiny of our towns, the destiny of our families, the destiny of our lives, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And this we receive and give you the praise today through you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's get established in a deeper sense of prayer.